A few summers ago, I was able to have the privilege to teach a program called Totus Tuus. I'm not sure if you've had it this summer yet, but it's an incredible program for the youth. But the trainers, the college students, they would go up to Camp St. Malo in the mountains before it burned down and then got hit by a mudslide. That, I guess, happens. But we would go up there and we'd spend time in prayer and study, learning about the faith. And one of those days, we were doing Stations of the Cross with Adoration up the path. And as we were there, there was another group. I think it was a group of homeschool families that were coming. So it was kind of a mix of people that were there praying together. And I was a 17-year-old punk kid, just kind of entering more into my faith. And we had been learning all of these complex things, this really high, sophisticated language about theology and how is Jesus present in the Eucharist, transubstantiation, the total changing of a substance, accidents, all these things. I'm like, how do I understand this? What is this all about? And as we were going from station to station, praying, kneeling down before the Blessed Sacrament, a little girl, maybe 3 years old, who had pretty severe Down syndrome, came right up to me as I was kneeling there before the Lord. And she just raised up her hands. Pick me up. And I'm like, I don't know who you are. I don't know what this is about. But completely moved, I just picked her up into my arms and then wept, experiencing love. Pure love. She didn't know me. I didn't know her. I don't know if she could know things in the way that we might. But she could love. So there was this high, sophisticated thing, and then there was the simple interaction with love. And the readings today, and last week, and then throughout these weeks, through daily Mass, and last week with Ezekiel, the church has been pointing to us the role of the prophets. We have today from the book of Amos. Amos was like 700, 800 BC. The north and the south of Israel, of Jerusalem, have been divided. And the north have rebelled. They say, we don't want Jerusalem as our temple. We have our own temple. We'll make our own. We'll put up a golden calf in this place called Bethel. And in another place called Dan. And that way, our people don't go down to the southern kingdom. Because we don't like them. And during this time of Amos, Amos is sent by God to go up there. Why? Because the place was filled with peace and prosperity. They had a very sophisticated culture. They were very comfortable in their life. And God sends Amos to preach what? Hey, if you don't convert, if you don't come back to the Lord with your hearts, because they had neglected the poor, they had neglected the true worship of God. If you don't come back to the Lord, destruction will come. Assyria will come and completely wipe you out. And what happens? It does. But Amos goes up from the south to the north. So you can kind of imagine this, like a country bumpkin going up to, I don't know, Maine, and saying, hey, convert yourselves. And it's like, well, I don't know who you are or who you think you are, but you can't make your money here. This is what the priest says. Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, says, off with you, visionary, flee. Go back to the land of Judah. If you're looking for money for your bread here, if you're looking for your wages here, this isn't the place. Go back to Judah and do your prophesying, your sightseeing there, or your seeing there, not sightseeing. But Amos responds powerfully. He's like, I'm not here for wages for my bread. I'm not here as a seer. God himself sent me. God himself has sent me. And it might seem odd that to a sophisticated, peaceful, prosperous culture, God sends a country bumpkin. Now, how is he described? He says, I was a shepherd and a dresser of sycamores. Now, in my mind, I was like, what in the, how do you dress sycamores? Like, are you putting shirts on trees? I don't understand. But in the Greek translation of the scriptures, it says, he's a slitter of the figs of sycamores. So sycamore is a gigantic tree, but it produces its own type of fig. The problem is these figs cannot ripen without help. The tree, it's futile. It doesn't work by itself. It's strange. So if you want to harvest an abundant, fruitful, juicy, tasty harvest of figs, at the right moment, at the right time, the dresser of sycamore takes a small knife and slits the fig to help it open. The juices run out, and it begins the ripening process. Pope Benedict, when he was Cardinal Ratzinger, he commented on this. He said, St. Basil points us to this to say, this is how we can understand how we're supposed to interact with the culture, with society. The pagan world, Basil said, at his time, is like the sycamore tree. By itself, it can't really produce fulfilling fruit. We need the Logos, the Word, Jesus Christ himself, to come and transform it so that true juices and true fruits and fulfilling food can come. So God, while it seems he might be taking this unprepared, simple man and sending him to the north to say, hey, convert, that doesn't seem like it should work, but no. The Lord sends one who is well prepared, one who knows the right time and the right place to speak the word of truth, to bring light to the darkness, and to bring fruit that will fulfill and that will last. The church today pairs this with the Gospel of Mark. What is Jesus doing in the Gospel of Mark? He is sending out his 12, the apostles. And I'm sure they felt a bit like the prophet Amos. We're being sent out to preach. To preach what? Repent. Convert from your sins. Repent. Draw back to the Lord, Jesus Christ. And he sends them with authority to drive out demons, to cure the sick. What does he send them with, though, is the question. Nothing. He says, when you go, don't take money. Don't take a second tunic. Okay, you can have sandals and a walking stick. But take nothing else with you when you go. Why? What do I want you to rely on and to give? The Word of God. When you go to these places, when you go to these towns, when you go out to preach repentance, bring me with you. And so they say, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed, and they're healed. It's not from some magical potion or from some medicine that they have. When they cast out demons, in the name of Jesus Christ, I cast you out. When they are armed with the Word of God, with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, they have the word to release the true fulfillment of the culture, as Amos the sycamore dresser did. And it bears fruit that fulfills. So the question for us is, what can we take from this today? I would say three things: courage, a fig, and a knife. We need courage. It's hard to go out there and to say, I'm a prophet. I have a friend who went, and his name's Father Jason Wunsch, and the archdiocese asked him to do a project, to go out onto 16th Street Mall, walk up to people and say, what do you know about the Catholic Church? Let's talk about it. That takes courage. That takes a lot of chutzpah, I guess. But we need courage to share our faith. And courage is founded in knowing the Word. The more time we spend praying with Jesus in the Word and in the Eucharist, the more courage we have within us. And then we can go out. But the fig, too. You need to engage the culture. We need to engage the world. In a world where things seem to be getting crazier and crazier, we have a lot of new things popping up. Transhumanism, transgenderism, all of these things are popping up. Trans-Siberian Orchestra. No, that's... We have many different things that are popping up that really demand a word, that demand from us engagement. It's not simply, I stay in my Catholic circle, I create my safety net, and I hope when I die, I get to heaven. That would be easy and comfortable, and it's a temptation for me. As a priest, who knows what happens to us in 20, 30 years? Will it be legal to be a priest? Who knows? Will it be legal to be a Catholic? Who knows? Hopefully, probably. But we should not run away. We should not try to escape and say, we can't talk to that world. We must understand the fruits that the world provides. But then more so, at the right time, in the right way, take our third tool, the Word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and slowly and carefully, with great love and support, enter the Word into the culture. And then it's transformed. The juices flow forth. It's fruitful. It's tasty. It's good. But most of all, it brings life. In a culture of death, it brings life. So bring with you your courage, understand the fig, and bring your knife of the Word. In a few moments, the Lord himself, the true prophet who calls us to be prophets like him. In our baptism, we're anointed priest, prophet, and king. You are prophets like Amos. You are disciples like the 12, sent forth to preach the gospel. So we pray, Lord, enter into us. Lord, give us courage. Lord, give us prudence and understanding to understand the world, that we might let your kingdom come, that we might bear fruits not for me, not for my benefit, but for the sake of your name and for the sake of the salvation of my brothers and sisters. Today the Lord humbles himself before us to give us his body and blood. We're nourished, strengthened by that fruit, which turns us then into great fruit for others. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever.